This is an MUT Radio podcast.
I have this special lady who is really such an intellect, and we were having such a good time with her. And Naege, at least I don't feel bad because Naege can't do the Bastata challenge. Sorry! She can't do it, but she is an MUT alumni. And if you have listened to our interview that we had the last time, she has just published her very first book, first of many. The first of many. It's titled The Black Graduate in a Corporate World. Wow, so, Namisa, you've heard me talk about Unontanta before.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so this is Ge Unontanta Vezi. You finally get to meet her.
Hello, Nanganga, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay as well.
That's great. Oh, yeah, guys. So there's a lot of commotion happening here. You know, girls, content creating, video and all of that, because Unontanta most definitely wants to capture the moment, because the last time she couldn't capture the moment. And, of course, why not? Because she's live on air, on radio, and it's just an amazing affair. Mnandikanjalo. So, Unontanta, the last time we spoke, if my memory serves me correct, you were about to release your book. It was back in October, mid-month. Of October, I'm not really sure.
Yes. Firstly, thank you for the warm welcome. The last time we spoke, yeah, it was mid-October. I was expecting my book from the printers, but now it's in the flesh.
How did you feel? Like, because I know people that like to read, they have this thing, Yogutin. When they feel the book, it feels so fresh, even the smell of the pages. Did you have that same effect when you saw your very own book?
Oh, my word. I cried. Really? I couldn't believe it. It smells so fresh. Mm. It smells so fresh. It felt like a dream.
Like a dream come true.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hey, that's great. So I want to know, because I already gave away the title of your book, Uguti. It's The Black Graduates in a Corporate World. By the way, that's a very interesting title, and I think that's a story on its own. So what would you say you would briefly outline about your book? Like, what is it about, without giving too much away, of course, because we want to read the book.
The Black Graduate in a Corporative World, it captures a certain point in South African's post about it. It's basically about what it means to be black, young, and educated while being a woman. It covers most of our South African graduate challenges that we face each and every day, and how our wails and cries are never heard or understood.
Yo, it sounds like activism type of vibes. Yeah, and I think that's very true. And you're actually being a voice for many other women through writing. So what would you say are some of the things that you cover in your book, since you already spoke about post-apartheid?
The book touches on themes such as the political power, and it supports the justice system and its education system, food security, and lastly, gender-based violence, which is currently a major thing in South Africa at the moment. Absolutely. If we were to wake up each and every morning, we wake up to news of women being found killed, and it's so sad that most of those women are killed by their loved ones.
Yes, that is true. And you know what, like, Nundanta, just yesterday I was actually watching a podcast of these women. They're in the broadcasting industry, though. Although it's not really a corporate world, but they were speaking about how a woman can be doing the same job as a man, but a man will get paid more. They were sharing the experiences of how they actually found out through their colleagues that, okay, I'm getting paid a lot less than you. So I don't know if you cover that in your book, about how women are actually exploited even in the workplace.
Underpaid. No, I didn't explore that part. Yeah. I didn't know about it, actually. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. But there are a lot of parts that I've touched on, such as men being in the leadership, in the management, more than females.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and also that notion, Yoguti, I feel like it's a front that women are actually, I'm not saying women are not empowered, I'm not saying women are not independent, I'm not saying women are not doing a lot for themselves, but I still believe that we do live in a man's world. I still do believe Uguti, there's this notion that is sold to us, Uguti, women are completely equal to men, and it's not true. Because you find, Uguti, like you said, men are still in power.
Yes, majority are very much in power. They're very much in power. And it's, they are very much in power. And in most companies, you will find that women are at the... they are not included at the management, at the leadership, but it's not as it was.
It's not as bad as it was before.
It was before.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good that it's not as bad as it was before. It does show, okay, there is something, although we still need to push harder, because I do feel like even though it's not as it was before, those women still have to constantly work twice as hard as the men to prove themselves. Just because you were given an opportunity, man, JK, like, because you are a woman, men will constantly prove it. It's just sad with people. See,
whereas men, they don't have to prove themselves.
They don't.
Yeah, they
don't.
They
just go for being males.
Yeah, and I think it's sad because when it comes to work, I feel like you should see work and you should see talent if we're working with talent. You shouldn't see gender. What does gender have to do with it? So it's just really sad. Earlier on this year, on Africa Day, you wrote and directed the narrative stage play. I remember I was there. I witnessed you being the narrator. And it was titled My Indigenous Food. And you mentioned food security as one of the themes you covered in your book. Can you please share a little bit about that?
I'm passionately about creating and living in a food secure environment where people can easily access food. Agriculture, it is a well-known factor that agriculture plays a major role in the world's economy.
Absolutely.
And the failure of food insecurity is not the issue of agriculture not producing sufficient food. Rather, it is the failure of livelihood distributing enough food to the household level. So this comes back to the question of what could be use or what could be the possible solution to household food insecurity. The answers are all in this book.
Yeah,
you can. I don't want to give too much
away. I understand. Really do. Nundanda, I know you are a research assistant. You still are, right?
Yes, I am.
So that brings me to my next question. Uguti, everything you've written about in your book, it seems like it's very well researched. Was this like part of your research thesis?
I wouldn't say it was part of my research thesis, but I did my research. I really believe in, as much as I write fiction, but I believe that people should read about things they can easily relate to and things that...
Yeah. Absolutely. But also at the same time, do research so that people don't later come at you and say, this is just fictional, like there's no facts, especially with the themes that you cover in your book.
Yes, like justice system. There's a scene in my book where I wrote about a court scene.
Yes.
So I had to speak with lawyers who are practicing law and who are familiar with this procedure, so that when I publish the book, I publish something that is not misleading.
Yes. Oh, my word. No, that's I didn't know, Uguti, so much goes into writing a book. If you're saying, Uguti, you literally have to meet with lawyers for certain scenes.
Like, everything that you have to write about, you have to make sure that you do a research. So that it will sound well researched and more convincing.
Okay, so I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but since you said a black graduate in a corporate world, I'm assuming, Guti Sambe, there is like a specific graduate per se that you're speaking about, or you're speaking about.
Yes.
Like, was there a specific graduate you had in mind, or did you have like any black graduate?
Any black graduate. So while I was doing my research, I will just go around and talk and interview different kind of graduates because I wanted to know what they are going through. As much as I'm a graduate, I'm a black graduate, but the challenges we face are not similar or are not the same. So I had to do interviews and sit down with a different kind of graduate and conduct an interview so that I will cover a whole range essence of what it means to be a black graduate in South Africa.
Absolutely. Mm. That is very, very true.
Nunganga, in chapter 1, you introduce a group of old women who come together and work voluntarily to achieve a common goal. Care to share about that?
For a very long time, women have been, they have been discriminated. They were restricted in being part of certain programs and plans due to cultural, economic, and social constraint. Mm. And also, they were not denied access to resources which can enhance their social contribution to the society. So this cooperative, this woman, Untozini Mgqibela, she saw the need to organize a group of old women in her community so that they can create a food secure environment and also create employment for the youth while empowering the youth. I mean, while empowering the woman.
Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's not only about creating a food secure environment, but it's giving women what has been taken from them, their voices back. This cooperative is empowering them to stand in the public without any fear and express their ideas, which was something that they were not allowed to do back in the days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is very true. So they own the world, they own the resources. Who are they that own the world, that own the resources? And also, what is their role in the corporate world?
It's men. Men, they own everything, in fact. They own the resources, they own the world, they own the higher positions. And they use that to satisfy their greedy hearts, because they know that most of those innocent young black women are desperate for jobs.
Yes.
They know that with or without employment, they are nothing. Mm. So those men, they take advantage of that and uses our black graduates. Mm.
That is true, because I have a friend of mine, of course I won't reveal their name, but I have a friend of mine when she was still like looking for employment, like she was so upset and saying that she's not okay because she literally had a manager who was a man say that if she wanted that job, she had to sleep with him.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens. They sleep their way up, in fact.
Because they forever say there is nothing for free.
Exactly, exactly. And it's true, there is nothing for free when it comes to the corporate world. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, do
a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Like everything has a bargain.
Yeah, so it's very hard. It's very hard. Yeah. Like Africa was saying, it's very hard being a woman in our days. Mm-hmm. Like you always have to prove yourself. You always have to give something in order to get something. Yeah.
Yeah, and also sorry to refer to this particular conversation, but with that podcast really inspired me a lot. But because the lady that was speaking were broadcasters.
Oh, I know her.
So she was saying, Guguti, the challenge she faced in the media industry was Guguti, there were always men that would want Guguti, she has to sleep with them.
Oh, God.
Like,
so nasty.
Yeah, so guys, it's something that really, really does happen. So I really do feel for women that do fall prey to that because they feel like they're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, Nunkanga, what lessons can be learned from reading your book?
There's a lot. I believe that there's a lot that people can learn since I cover a whole range of themes.
Yeah, you do.
Firstly, it will be speak up, always speak up, and always stand for what you believe in, regardless of what other people say. and speak up without fear, many women tend to shy away from voicing their opinion because of fear and the judgment that usually comes with it. So this book is empowering women to speak up more, voice their opinions, and also if plan A doesn't work out, we have to be realistic with ourselves that education is not necessarily gonna work out for everyone.
True.
So it's better to have something that you can use as a plan B if education doesn't work out, such as creating employment for ourselves, self-employment. At the end, we have to create a foundation for the next generation.
That's true.
Very important.
Build that legacy for the generation to come after. You spoke about education, and it makes me feel that there's a lot more that you want to say. Okay, we cannot fully rely on education. That is what will make us successful. So what is your view on the education system?
I have a lot, but I'm
the
going to say
you. It's the sigh for me.
I think our education system is kind of dysfunctional.
It is.
It wasn't designed in a way that will equip a black child with the necessary skills to meet the job market.
Yeah.
You know, I once read an article where our president was quoted saying, South African black graduates don't have the right skills. And then my question was like, since they have pointed the problem,
yes,
what is being done about it? Because this thing of education system, there's been talk, there's been cheap talks about it. Nothing has been done. I think it is also the responsibility of the relevant agencies and policymakers in the education sector to try and find out solutions to this matter and implement new policies that will make education meaningful and functional.
Absolutely. And you know what, to add to what you're saying, Nontandla, I feel like the education system is dysfunctional. I feel like also it's preparing us for the past. Like the curriculum is so outdated.
Exactly.
It's not preparing us for the future. We're in the fourth industrial revolution. What are you doing to ensure graduate students are ready for that world?
Nothing is being done. It's so sad.
It really is. It really is. And I think that's why more and more universities really need to push into entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
Because that really is our way to go.
I think it's the way to go. That's how we are going to make it, if we can just focus on the entrepreneurship side, the business side. Because education, it seems like it has failed us.
Back then,
it was the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. But now, it's no longer that powerful weapon which you can use to change the world.
It's more like a foundation now.
Yeah.
To step on, but it really isn't the key to success.
Imagine spending those years only to come up with a foundation.
And of course, guys, we're not bashing education. Like, we're not bashing education. We're not saying don't go and study. Of course, you do need to. But we're saying, if you're going to only think in that way, education, like, you're not going to go very far. Because there are people, just last week, they were workers that were striking, and they were complaining and saying that their salaries are not enough for them to be able to uphold their standard of living. They're in debt. They don't have enough. So we really need entrepreneurship.
Yeah, we do.
So Nontandla, we've spoken so much about your book, but we haven't really asked you, Guti, how has the reception been like? How are people receiving your book?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing, I can say that. And also the support I've been receiving, it's overwhelming. Having people appreciating your work, it's amazing. The messages I've been receiving, they're amazing. It's not like a dream, and it's so nice to have people acknowledging your work.
Yes, because you put so much work into it.
Yeah, I did. It took me years to finally publish it.
I can imagine, Uguti, it literally took you that term, Uguti, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
But we're so happy for you, Nontlanhla. I mean, a young female that is doing amazing. You know, you took that education that you got and you created something amazing out of it. Because this is also a form of entrepreneurship,
yes.
By the way.
And education.
And education at
you know,
the same
education
time.
Works in many forms.
It does. Yeah, which is why we're saying, we see, you do need it. We're not saying, like, to hell with education.
Yeah, even if you were to go to business sector, entrepreneurship, you have to have some sort of education.
Yes, you do. Which is why Abanyabantu, even though they are business people, some of their businesses are not doing well because you do need
education.
You do need that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I feel like we're having a mini debate.
And where can we order the book?
You can get it directly from me by sending a WhatsApp message to 078-46-666-56.
Okay.
Okay, can you please repeat that?
078-46-666-56. And you can also follow me on Facebook at Nhlanhla Vezi, on Instagram at Nhlanhla Vezi, and Twitter at Nhlanhla Vezi.
So there's no like online Amazon?
Not at the moment. Yes,
yeah.
But I'm working on that.
People that want to order sambaba, segoli, and stuff like that. But, hey, Nontlanhla, we're very proud of you, and it's amazing having this conversation with you. Like I said in the beginning, you're very, very intellectual, and you have a bright future ahead of you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Yes, guys, as you heard it, that was Nontlanhla Vezi, who is an MUT alumni, and she as also an author, and I'm speaking it into existence for her. She's going to be one of the best-selling young authors.
Manifest to that.
Yes.
We manifest.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The title of her book is called The Black Graduate in the Corporate World. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Nontlanhla.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.